Well, I have something here I want to share that's a little bit of a continuation from where we've been. Anybody help me out with where we were last week? What were we talking about last week? There we go. We're talking about walking. Praise God. How many like to walk? How many have had problems walking? I had some stuff done in my hip. It's like I identified a little bit with JT there for a while. And it's funny, when you're having a big hitch in your step, you know, and you watch somebody walking along, you think, man, that looks nice. Just be able to walk smooth, you know. No pain, no, you know. and it's so good to be healed. So good to be free from those things like that, right? So we were talking about that. This is actually why Jesus rose from the grave, not just to give us new life, but help us to walk in that new life. Amen? And so what that's going to be, there's a lot of aspects to it. I encourage you to go back and look at that from last week. It's real important that we get on God's side and we're walking with him in fellowship with him, in agreement with him. And but I want to talk about an aspect of this that I kind of experienced in my life right now. How many have observed what's going on like last night? 200 plus missiles being fired at Israel. And when you really look at it on the map and you see the how small it is compared to all those nations around it that are so much bigger. They have something that is very special though. And it, even that Iron Dome that they have, they said it wasn't just their defenses that made this possible last night, the shooting down of all those missiles coming at them. It was us. And they actually had other Arab nations that were supporting them. Wow. Jordan, I believe, right? Maybe Egypt, I don't know. But not them? Okay, all right. JT's got just Jordan.
Jordan, Saudi.
Saudi Arabia, Syria, I think. Partly because they were shooting over these other nations that they were in, going into their sovereign space. But Israel is pretty powerful all by itself. But for it to overcome, it still needs to be connected. Yeah. Still needs to be. Have allies. Still, how many know the Second World War wasn't won with one nation? England needed us.
Yeah.
You know, there needed to be a coming together, because it does matter how many are with us, yeah, as opposed to how many are against us.
Right.
And I just want to encourage us. You know, part of the what happened with us in the Second World War is this idea that we don't need to be a part of anything that's going on in the world. And it's a continual conflict. And you know, sometimes I think we do need to withdraw. But whether we are cognizant of it or not, well, especially with Japan, I mean, they came and attacked us and we were sitting ducks,
yeah,
because we were so oblivious. I think they even had intelligence that they could have acted upon, but they didn't do anything about it. It's kind of like us. We have intelligence about what the enemy's up to.
Yeah.
And he's coming against us every day.
Yes.
And he has schemes. He wants to take us down.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but sometimes, I mean, even just reflected in our numbers here today. And I want us to be encouraged in this, because I just want you to know how much I love each one of you and how precious you are to us as a group.
Yeah.
How critical it is for you personally, but for us as a body,
yeah,
and connected with the body of Christ. Now, God can do more with just a small group,
yeah,
than Satan does with a whole bunch. And we're going to look at that to some extent. But it's very important who you're connected with,
yes,
and that you are.
Absolutely.
Amen?
Yes.
So, on this walk that we've been risen with Christ to take, he said, you've been risen so that you can walk in newness of life. And it's so important to me to understand that walk is not going to be a walk alone. It's not going to be me by myself. I'm going to have to be taking it with him. But you start walking with him, and you're going to find that it's not just you and him anymore. It's you and the rest of the body. Amen?
That's good.
I grew up, though, in a little eastern Colorado town. My dad moved out there and started a church when I was 7. And he was a holy roller. We didn't ever really roll, but I think he did tear his pants a couple times from kicking his leg, you know. Because we believed in the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power of God. And we believed that it should change how you live your life. And so we came in there. I had 3 older sisters. And they weren't allowed to wear makeup. They weren't allowed to wear short dresses. So they would have to wear a skirt and roll it up once they got to school. You know, once in a while, I'm just telling on them. But I grew up with this perception that we were the minority. That we were the minority. And you know, in a reality, this is probably true. But here's what the perception can be, is that the majority is greater. That just because we are in a minority, that we are less effective, less influential. And I just want to address that today, because I think we need to have an understanding that in this world around us, it's just mindless, the wickedness that's going on, the evil. It just doesn't even make any sense. It's just the extent to what wickedness and evilness takes people to. But it seems to be so dominant, doesn't it? It just seems like and it can be almost overwhelming to where you just kind of become like, well, that's how it's going to be. Right? But we've been called to a walk of newness of life where there's actually more with us than are against us.
Yes.
And the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to pull down every stronghold.
Yes.
Amen? So let's look at this, because Jesus actually tells us this, that we don't need to try and say, we're saying this to some extent, but as far as numbers of actually members of the body of Christ right now, we're a minority. In fact, you know, when I was growing up, when you looked in the history books, you know, you looked at America, Christian nation.
Right. Amen.
Not so much anymore. And it's even scratching the head-ish about those who claim to be Christian. Because you know what? To be a Christian is not to just claim it and try, you know, go on television and tell everybody how you're of a faith. It's to be transformed.
Yeah.
To where you're not walking according to the world. And maybe you're not wearing some makeup. And maybe you're not dressing seductively. You know? Maybe there is a reflection of holiness that should take over somebody that actually believes in God. Because, you know, he's a holy God. He's an uncompromising God. And to actually be in his presence should cause you to tremble. Amen? No matter how long we've been knowing him, it should cause us to be overwhelmed by how amazing this God is and that we get to be with him. Amen? Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. All right, I just wanted to read that scripture first, but let's go to Matthew 7:13. And the walk will not seem to be popular or easy. And I think how many have been challenged by this at all? I think it's something that it's like this hovering cloud it's always trying to oppress us. And we need to recognize what that is and have a resistance for it, that it doesn't need to overtake us. We don't need to be impressed by all this gender stuff. We don't need to be impressed by all this stuff. You know what? It's kind of interesting to me how they call it, when you're opposed to something, you're afraid of it. You know how a phobia, they put phobia on the end of everything that they think that you're a hater just because you don't agree, you know? And that's not necessarily so. I'm just aware of another truth, another standard. And you know, it's kind of like we were saying at Easter, you know, truth is not variable. It's not according to how somebody feels. Truth is truth. Amen? So anyway, let's look at what Jesus says about this. So when we find ourselves in the minority and we find ourselves feeling like there's the wickedness is prevailing and it's like lawlessness is just overtaking this country especially. It's amazing. We need to know that Jesus foresaw this and he said this is how it was going to be, right? You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. So that makes you almost not even have any respect for all the... Don't you just hate it when they're trying to figure out what to do and they tell you what the popular vote is on this thing? You know what I mean? It's like, I almost don't give too much credit for that sometimes. You know, it will be valid sometimes, but not in the case of righteousness and holiness. Amen? The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. That should make us start to feel confident, actually, when we find ourselves in a minority. Say, oh, well, I must be doing something right. I must be seeking the right thing. Amen? All right, let's go to 2 Kings 6:15. You can't go by appearances. So remember, this is a really cool story. Remember, it was Elisha and the king of, I believe it was the king of Syria. The king of Syria was trying to defeat the king of Israel, I believe. And every time he would try to attack where he thought the king was, Elisha would let him know because Elisha would see it in the spirit. And so, boy, this got him so mad. And so finally, he actually got Elisha and his servant surrounded. Remember this? With a massive army. And this is where we are in this story. Okay. Don't you like it when you can whisper a little bit? When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. They were surrounded. Oh, sir, what will we do now? We're outnumbered. They've caught us. You should have seen this coming and we should have slipped away. Actually, keep reading the rest of the story because it really gets interesting even after this. The young man cried to Elisha, "Don't be afraid," Elisha told him, "for there are more on our side than on theirs." Amen? Yeah. We cannot go by the way things appear to be. When it comes to God, even if the numbers are different, we can put thousands to flight. Amen? Because the power on our side, there's more with us than with them. Yeah. Then Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see." We need revelation, don't we? Yes. This will come in the presence of God. If we'll get our eyes off of Fox News, especially off of MSNBC News, and I'm sorry, any of the news, and get our eyes in the Word of God. You know, I was so encouraged. Zach was telling me they have a routine they go through that in the evenings, and they spend 45 minutes, you said, right? If you stay awake that long, right? just in the Word, you know? What does God have to say about what's going on? I'd rather hear what God has to say. Yes. And let my spirit feed on that through the night. Yes. Amen?
Yes.
Because we need an answer to this prayer. Open our eyes. Help us to see what's really going on. Is it the Message Bible that talks about the angel armies? It says it over and over again, right? And he talked to the forces of heaven. He's always talking about the angel armies. Did you know that there's angels here right now? That there's more of us? the forces of God are so much greater. Yes. Amen? Yes. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Isn't that cool? Yes. So, we can't go by the way things look, right?
Right.
Okay, let's keep going. Isaiah 54:14. And I love this one. As part of his establishment, we'll walk fearlessly. So when we set out to walk, we're going to need to have confidence that we're walking with a victorious troop. We're not alone. We're walking with it. So we get a perspective of that from Isaiah, or whatever that was, 2 Kings, right? But then in Isaiah, it talks about, in this way, it talks about that God will establish something that will set you in a position of being far from fear and far from terror, to where those things don't even come to you. You're not even moved by what might seem to be overwhelming, right?
Yeah.
As part of his establishment, you'll walk in fearlessness. How does that sound? That sounds pretty hunky-dory, right? In righteousness you shall be established. Now, what's interesting when you look at I wanted to use this translation because I like how that's phrased. But if you look at some of the other translations, it talks about a government. It talks about how things will be operated.
Yeah.
That speaks to me of how people will be interacting, right? When something is established, it's an organization of people, right? You shall be far from oppression because of this establishment. For you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Oh, follow me on this, because I think this is really cool. So what, I've seen this before, and I've loved this passage, and I like to meditate on it, because I like to be far from fear and far from oppression, and for terror to not even be close to me, right? And so much of the time, our mind just needs to get revelation of that, and so good to meditate on that. But I want to see something about this. So what has he established for us to be far from fear? We've been raised from the grave with him so that we can walk in newness of life. And that's going to need to be far from fear. It's going to need to be not impressed by the opposition, not feeling like you're so much of a minority that you have to bow before the majority, right? So what is that then? Man, this is cool, and it might seem like a slam dunk, and it should, because this is something that's already in our hearts, but we need to be encouraged in it, amen? To be in him is to never be alone and to overcome. So to be in him is to already be in a position of overcoming. But let's look at John 16:32. I thought this was so precious what Jesus says here. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone. What's he saying? It's going to appear that I'm alone, but I'm not. Amen? Now, go back on Wednesday. We talked about his presence on Wednesday. And I encourage you to go back and look at this because it's really connected with what I'm talking about right here. But the presence of God is so powerful. And he says, just because things appear to be this way. What did he say? Why were the disciples unable to do anything, to stand up for him at all? They weren't new creations, right? For one thing. But they were scattered. What does the enemy want to do? He wants to divide and conquer. He wants to get us to feel like we're all alone.
Yeah.
Get us this. This is why it's so important. I encourage you to come back on Wednesday if you can, because
yeah.
We have to be connected. There's something that comes in this that is essential to our power over the enemy. If we're going to be a minority in numbers, our ability to not be overcome by the majority is going to be in our unity.
Yeah.
Amen? Okay. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Huh. How am I going to have peace? Because he's not alone, but he's with his Father. It's because we get to be in him. Amen? In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Okay, let's keep going here. Ephesians 4:12. So we're established. So the key here says, so what is he establishing? He's establishing a togetherness. Do you remember what Jesus' last prayer was before he, to the Father? He had that intimate prayer with him. I think it was John 17, right? What was his main theme in that prayer? Unity. He said, as you and I have been one, Father, make them to be one. That becomes so essential. He said, that's the whole purpose of him rising from the grave, so that when you walk in newness of life, it's going to not you be you alone. It's going to be you connected. Amen. Ephesians, man, this is a great passage. We're established together in him for the fearless walk of love. How many are familiar with the passage that says, and perfect love will do what? Cast out fear, right? All right, let's look at this. Why is it that he gives us these special abilities to do certain things best? Now, he's talking about different people that are gifted in different ways to contribute to what? The body of Christ. We're not supposed to walk alone.
Right.
We're supposed to be joined together, not with just the Father. We're supposed to be joined together with his body. Amen?
Yes.
Why? You know, here's the deception. Oh, the body doesn't need what I have. It says, no, God has given us something that's very special. You know, I just want to mention really quickly, Easter was just a blast. How many had fun on Easter? Over there? Amen? I just want to make note, if you don't mind, at how gifted JT and Tammy are at greeting. And what a blessing and encouragement. I'm not saying that anybody else wasn't. I'm just, I just want to point out my personal experience. With you know what? That's a gift. You know what? And they didn't withhold it. They were excited about it and they shared. And you know what? People were touched very preciously because of their faithfulness to give of what they had. Now, there's so many different ways. The Amogbys, they cleaned this church yesterday. You know? Nobody would have known unless I just let the secret out of the bag right now. But you know what? There's a blessing to all of us right now that we don't have crickets laying under our feet. You know? And the bathrooms are clean and it smells good and everything else. And the windows, we can actually see through them. And there's so many different parts that we need each other. What does that do? That enables us to become strong.
Yes.
And that contribution, when we give something, it's not only doing something for somebody else, it's doing something for us.
Yes.
Amen? He's talking about this. He says, why is it that he gives these special abilities to do certain things best? Is it that God's people will be equipped? It is that God's people will be equipped to do better work for him. Building up the church, the body of Christ, to a position of strength and maturity. What is that saying? It's saying that we need each other in order to get strong, to get better, right? Until finally we all believe alike about our salvation and about our Savior, God's Son, and all become full grown in the Lord. Yes, to the point of being filled full with Christ. Okay, what is it dependent upon? Us being together, right? Then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone has told us something different or has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth. Isn't it kind of fun to say it that way, right? Instead, we will lovingly follow the truth at all times, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, and so become more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly, and each part in its own special way helps the other parts so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of what? And what does perfect love do? this a cool connection to Isaiah 54? And you'll be established in righteousness, far from terror. What is that? That's the body of Christ building itself up. Each person taking their place and not being selfish with it, not feeling like it's good enough or not being able to receive from somebody else. Isn't this cool? I heard this example of this, and I'm not going to say it's a famous person, but I talking about teamwork and about actually being able to build something. Did you know that God has a purpose for us as a church body? I think there's a lot of things that we're doing that are taking us there, but it takes each one of us actually becoming a part of it. And he was talking about how these devices that we have, it's not enough to just have a good idea. It's not enough for God to just have a purpose for this body. We have to come together. And we have to interact in order for it to be accomplished. A good idea alone just dies unless it's actually given vision.
Yeah.
It's given direction.
That's right.
And he's given the example of, how many have heard of a stone roller? I hadn't either. Man, you can look it up on Google right away and you can find them, all kinds of different versions of these things. Maybe that's not the right name for it, but what it is, it's like a canister like this that's on an electric wheel. Rock tumbler. There you go. Anybody here a rock tumbler? I called it the wrong thing. I'm sorry. I said it wrong. What does it do? It takes a stone that doesn't look like much. And, you know, where my grandparents were up in Colorado, you go out in the creek, and all the stones were like that. They're smooth. They're round. They actually act. my dad's father had a farm. It's actually still there. It's like a historic place now, the Bierman Farm out north of Buena Vista, and he farmed rocks basically. They said he had to go around and pick up most of the rocks before he could even plant anything. Because there were glaciers that actually went through. And when the glaciers went through, they made these rocks. And they're all round. They're all smooth. And it's because of the interaction between them. And the abrasion that happened in that. That caused it to be smoothed out. And so this guy was given this example of this, and he said as a child he had seen this, and it always stuck in his mind. You take rocks that are rough, and you put sand in there with it, and you put water in there with it, and you let them roll. You let them interact for 2 to 3 weeks, and they'll come out of that. Have you done that before? She's actually done it. Yeah, you know how you go to these novelty places and they got those really smooth round stones. They've been in a rock tumbler. Wow. And the interaction between the other rocks and the abrasion that happens in that and makes it possible to produce something that's very beautiful and very wonderful. And he said, it allowed him to be able to produce some of the, well, this. Said, because it's about teamwork. It's about getting people that aren't used to working together. And you get them together. And that's what I saw in this Ephesians example. It's like, this is what love is about. Not deciding if we like people, getting together and make sure that we do.
That's good.
You know, that's really what marriage is about. It's not deciding if you like somebody before you get married.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you might want to like them a lot, you know, but... But you know, how many know that are married that you had to decide after you got married that you liked them too, right? Is that true? Right? Why? Because you got them in a rock tumbler, right? And some things started to rub you the wrong way. Is that right? And what the enemy wants to do is make you feel like you got to get out of the tumbler. And you just need to stay there. Because things will get worn off of you. You'll help it wear off of somebody else.
Yeah.
And in the end, you'll be able to produce. I believe that's what it's talking about in Ephesians here.
Good.
So we're supposed to help each other. We're supposed to build each other up in love. It's not supposed to be something where we're attacking each other.
Right.
But we should be able to say something to somebody. We should be able to receive correction from somebody. And that's why Jesus was praying so passionate about this, is because this is actually where our power lies, in our smaller numbers. If we are not united, if we are not connected, if we are not tumbling in the rock roller, tumbler, whatever helps you understand what I'm talking about. We have to stay in that, amen? And it'll help us, the numbers that we do have, to be beautiful and to reflect Christ. Okay, let's look a little bit more. Are y'all good?
Yeah.
All right, Matthew 16:18. Overwhelming what was once intimidating. So here's where I have been with this myself, and I just want to encourage us in it. You can pray for me if you feel like this is not something for you and you just see that it is a problem for me. Sometimes the world can seem to be intimidating. It can seem to be overwhelming. Amen? And what God wants us to do is to get on the other side of it. To not have how many are familiar with that scripture that says, and when the enemy comes in? A lot of times when I first heard of that, it was when the enemy comes in like a flood, he's coming in. It's just kind of like my perception of, we can feel like when we're a minority. It's like he's just too big. He's just, you know how that really is when the enemy comes in like a flood, the enemy, the power of God, the Spirit of the Lord comes in and overwhelms him. That's how it should be. That's how it will be if our perspective is given the light. Amen? If Elisha's prayer is being answered in us, we will see things differently and we will turn the tables. And he'll be the one that's being taken. You know what? This is our place in history right now. We are the church. These are the last days. We're not supposed to be sleeping. We're supposed to be on our toes. Amen? Knowing that there's more that are with us than are with them. Amen? So remember, Jesus is having this conversation with Peter, and he says, and I tell you, you are Peter, a Greek Petros, a large piece of rock. He's a piece of rock, right? And on this rock, Greek Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, the powers of the eternal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. Don't you like that? Yeah. Now, the King James says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. What are gates doing? What's the only function of a gate? To not allow something to pass. So the only thing that the gates of hell can attempt to do is to keep us out. To keep us from going forward. And the only way they'll be successful in that is if we don't ever rise up like a flood. And take our place. Amen? Because we're to be strong, mighty through God. Yes. To pull down those things. Amen?
Amen.
To be powerful in this time.
Yes.
Now real quick. So he's saying, you are but a piece of something so much bigger, but you are part of it. On this rock, on this understanding of what you're a part of, I will build something that the gates of hell can't keep back. But you gotta be a part of it. You gotta be connected to it. You have to become alive in this. Amen? All right, so I've got one more. Are you good? This is 1 Peter 2:5. In him we become a living stone. I know we're talking about walking, but you have to know what you're connected with. That you are a part of something that's huge. You're a part of the rock of our salvation. Amen? But it's not just enough to be a part of it. You have to be alive in him. You have to be moving in him. Amen? Come and be his living stones. Who are continually being assembled. Don't you like this? I was thinking about this because, you know, this is a lifetime quest for us, really. You know, you said you've been born again for 12 years. You're doing rather well for 12 years old. Brayden's going to be 12 this year. You and Brayden, you're pretty close. But this is really a lifetime quest for us. And I'm thinking, you know what? Until our dying breath, we are still being assembled. We're still supposed to be connected. We're still supposed to be part of a large rock that the enemy can't keep back when we are connected. Amen? Amen? There's an effect that we're supposed to make on this community that is not a defensive one. It's an offensive one. Amen? You know, there's a phrase that says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. And I've thought about that before, is not just being a strong tower, but a strong tank. You run into it, you're safe there. But for an offensive purpose. The enemy's darts will not get you, but he can't hold you back either. Because you're in the name of the Lord. Amen? Part of something so much bigger. For now you serve as holy priests, offering up spiritual sacrifices. Well, let me go back and read the whole thing. And come be his living stones who are continually being assembled into a sanctuary for God. I'm sorry, but you are not the temple of the Holy Spirit all by yourself. We're supposed to be it together. Yeah. Amen? It says you're going to be a living stone that needs to be in a tumbler. You need to be interacting. You need to have a little bit of reason to love. How many have experienced a reason to love? How many that has not actually been a pleasurable experience, that reason to love? Why? Because love is not just affection. Love is not just feeling good. Love is actually saying, I'm going to act this way in spite of how I'm feeling. And what happens every time on the other side of that decision is the wearing away of something bad in me. Yeah, amen?
Right.
And it's required for us to actually be connected to his body. This is what he's raised up from the grave to take us to, a walk that's with him, that's in him, that's a living stone in him, that the enemy cannot hold back, because the purpose of my walk is not just for me. The purpose is to carry the glory against that thing that used to look to be so big. This world around us that looks so big, we're supposed to be storming it. Amen? We're supposed to be the dominant ones. We're supposed to be the confident ones. We're supposed to be the ones. Did you know that they can't refute any argument that we have because we have the wisdom of God? We have the truth on the inside of us, and he will give us the words to say that they can't come back with. It won't necessarily be abrasive or condemning, but love will tear down all those lies. Amen. And there's a triumph on the other side of this rock tumbler that we get to be in him. Amen? So, for now you serve as holy priests, offering up spiritual sacrifices that he readily accepts through Jesus Christ. We have a purpose in him. Amen? Is this good today? Praise God. We get to worship him. We get to lift up our voices. We get to praise him with all that's within us. Praise God, but it's for a purpose. And I just want us to encourage, to be encouraged today in our body here, right now. It is important. They said one thing about, when I was reading about this rock tumbler thing, sorry I got that name wrong, but it said all rocks won't work in that. If they have cracks in them, if they have, if they're too angular, you know, if they're too pointed here and there, they won't be able to work in this thing. And I'm thinking, you know what? We need to be together, but we also need to identify with the perfection that we've been given in Christ. There needs to be this understanding that it's not just me, but it's who I've been made to be in Christ. And he does make me good for the tumbler. Amen. I will be a stone that will come out beneficial to the body. Praise God. And I was talking about this because I was thinking about my father passing away, and I'm thinking, you know, he was a living stone until he passed, and then he's gone. But no, it continues. The effect that we become alive in him, we become active in him, standing up. The numbers that we're connected with right now are not just living numbers that we can see in the flesh today. There's a whole host of heaven that are looking over the banister of heaven watching us right now. Amen? And we don't know the extent of that effect to us right now. But we're part of something so much bigger that we have to connect with. Amen? Amen.